And good morning. Jim Furno is joining me. He is the city manager of the city of Burlington. He joins me each month. And it seems that we've been talking the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, but the last two times that I was in here, it was in the middle of a downpour, so I don't think that's happening this time.
Okay, so the environment is different, but
yep.
The situation, trying to predict what we were saying yesterday on the air, that we're trying to predict when this thing is going to end. I've got a daughter scheduled to get married in downtown Chicago in June 4th. That's 10 months away. Now, when this thing's hit, or when things changed, basically, I think it was basically St. Patrick's Day that all of these things changed, at least in the state of Iowa. But and we thought, okay, well, we're that 10. I mean, that's a year and that's 15 months away. Everything's going to be just fine. And it may very well be just fine, but the reality is we don't know. There's nothing that we absolutely positively know about what is or is not going to happen. And I think from a standpoint of planning, that's a frustrating kind of thing. We're talking about the football season. It's still up in the air with the game scheduled to start, or actually game schedules to start. We know the SEC Blackhawks don't begin practice until January 11th. So a lot of things are still somewhat in a fluid state, as Pat Cohen would say.
They certainly are. Our pool didn't open this season. We did finally get it repaired. That was one of the things that ended up being part of the factor that we didn't get it open. But we are, it's now repaired, and we're putting some water in it. We have work that we need to do around it before next season. Significant amount of concrete work just to take care of some issues there.
Now, is there going to be
decking?
Is there going to be a bubble on top of that?
The discussions that had been had, that ended up, I want to say last December was the last time we had some discussions where the pricing was just higher with some of the things that they had to address, ended up putting the price higher than what they had the funding to make happen. So that hasn't been moving forward. You know, we've looked out at our recplex, and, you know, we were in complete shutdown back in May, but the softball, baseball seasons have all been going great guns. I think that SESA started some practices this last week, and, you know, the Y's starting to get some programming out for fall, their fall sports. So we're starting to see those things moving forward. You know, the Recplex, I don't know the final numbers that we were down from. We certainly were down there because we did lose several tournaments in the spring. But, you know, June and July were pretty good. The majority of teams were able to hold in there and still play. Now we're going to see how soccer holds up this fall. As you mentioned, a lot of sports are still tentative on the fall, and soccer is one of those that at least right now is open, but we kind of have to see how it all plays out as to whether that's able to actually come to fruition for ultimately having all those tournaments.
The flood mitigation project, where do we stand on that?
So we are going out for bids on the second phase. I don't even know what the timing is for when we're supposed to get those bids back, but we should be taking action on those in the next few weeks, and we're hoping to have that construction occur. And I don't even know the time frame. I think it's September to October, depending on what contractor gets in and what occurs. And I think that might be over a 12-month cycle that we're allowing that work to occur. But we'll have to wait and see where the bids come in, and you know we have an estimate. I have too many different projects. I want to say the estimate on that for actual construction was in the $3.2 million range, tentatively.
Now
maybe
it was
$3.5 million. I'm not sure.
You were telling us, I believe the last time you were here, that because of the revenue the revenue situation within the city of Burlington, that flood mitigation project was going to take a considerably larger chunk of your city budget than had anticipated.
So we had this phase two, we have TIF financing to cover. In the first phase, we had just straight GO bonds with debt service property taxes to backstop on. What we see happening, I mean, we're supposed to, this last year, we're supposed to receive $700,000 or so in revenue from the state from sales tax collections. We did get in the 350 maybe, 350,000 range, so we came up short. This next year we're supposed to be over in the 800,000 range for collections, and my guess is that we won't receive any of that, but you know, we'll see how things work out. We haven't received any estimates as to what's happening with sales tax collections. We know that there should be a little bit of a dip. I just don't know how much. But if we lose that revenue, $800,000 plus the other $350,000, where that ends up getting made up from is our the property taxes. What gets collected for our other debt service backed projects, we have that much less collected in order to fund future projects.
I know that there are some businesses that have been doing extremely well during the COVID-19. Home improvement stores, garden centers, et cetera, those have been doing quite well. Restaurants, hotels are significantly down, and the major home improvement stores, all of the stores that are the major stores that are doing reasonably well are all in West Burlington. I don't know.
That doesn't matter. I mean,
does it
in
matter?
Terms of
okay.
overall tax collections are on account it's collected and then spread out
okay.
on a countywide basis.
Oh, so it doesn't. It does not. It so okay. So what's good for the goose is for the gander.
Well, for that part, the sales tax collection that we get from the state is all based on our specific community and the collections that are here. So there are different pieces that come in, and local option sales tax is by formula on a per capita basis.
But hotel motel tax, that's still way down.
That is numbers for June were I think 25% down just for occupancy. I don't know what that will mean for revenue, because I don't know the rates that they were collecting. So, I mean, if they were charging less for those rooms, then that's a magnified effect for actual collections of sales tax. Haven't seen numbers for July, but our first, and I don't remember what the first 6 months of the year were, but I want to say they were in the 15 to 20% down overall.
Okay.
But yeah, the month of June specifically was 25% down.
You know, I guess the question is, what does it take? You need a good economy.
And that's when we have a tournaments.
Yeah.
We had
yeah.
tournaments going
yeah.
on in the community,
yeah.
and we still saw that kind of thing. And I think that I don't know what all plays into that, whether people are doing when they're coming for tournaments, if they're driving back and forth each night, if you're seeing people still going to tournaments but going more local tournaments as opposed to traveling as far as they were otherwise. I just don't know what the dynamics of that part are.
I think there's a certain anxiety about staying in a hotel or a motel. I think that's one thing that is still out there. And I think travel in general has been taking a real beating.
It has, and you know, we'll see how, like for a road use tax, that's all based off of what happens with travel. The state was projecting overall for the course of this next fiscal year an average of about 14-15% reduction for collections based off of travel. I don't know that it'll be that much of a drop overall, but we'll have to come back and see. You know, initially the casinos were expecting kind of a 20% reduction this next year, but you know, once they opened up in June, they've actually seen year-over-year increases, and I think that probably has to do with there was some pent-up demand and maybe people looking for alternative activities when they had other things that were cut off. I don't know what that's going to do, but that mean for me that is at least a signal that that's going to be a revenue stream that's going to be closer to normal than what we had kind of thought might be the case.
Well, I think that's that what we're seeing is an uneven sort of recovery.
It's an uneven recovery
where we have pent up demand that is that is there.
So
bicycle sales have been going out through the roof though.
Overall sales or overall expenditures, consumer spending has been as high as what it was previously, and you can look at. I looked at. Revenue coming in on a national basis, income has actually been total overall higher as a result. One of the biggest factors has been the unemployment compensation that's been out there. But with that changing in August 1, I don't, and there's still a wait and see here.
Still
debating what does that mean? We may have had somewhat of a rebound in sales tax collections through June and July, but how much of that was support or propped up by that unemployment compensation that's now, right now, we don't know what it's going to end up being.
The smart money as it stands right now is that there will be an extension of that at least to either all or close to where we were, but not probably in the amount of time or length of time that we have. But this is speculation is dealing with right now. We've got people sitting at a table in Washington D.C. that are kind of doing this sort of squabbling. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but at least negotiating is what they call all. The only thing I said is that you've got every single person in the House, for instance, is up for re-election.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the House can talk about all they want to do about how they want to sit. They're going to sit on their hands. If people do vote with their pocketbook, believe it or not, and if you promise somebody something and then you don't deliver and you're up for re-election. That typically does not bode well for your situation, but I don't know. That's just one of the things. Typically, you find a way to make things work. That's what I'm betting on anyway. But the fact is we don't know, and that's it. We're back to square one, which is we don't know where we're going to be actually going to be sitting and trying to plan fiscally is sort of like in the same murky kind of area, isn't it?
Well, yeah,
you're dealing with different things, though, right?
So we're looking. I mean, our major funding streams, property taxes, they don't tend to change much. The collections there, whether you're going through a robust or a depressed economy.
New home sales are going.
Is that it has an impact on future growth and future valuation. So. What we look at, there's more likely, a lot of this is for us, again, more long-term impacts for future budget years where we see the larger swings. Where we are impacted more on the immediate front is on our ability for planning capital projects. Now, we have the funding in place for the majority of our current year capital projects, but how are we impacted moving forward when our funding sources are, hotel motel tax, local option sales tax, and then property tax collections for debt service that are impacted by not getting the sales tax from the flood wall?
Roads and bridges basically are it's road use tax, isn't it?
And the majority of our actual projects roads for streets is funded with debt service.
Okay.
So we collect like $3 million in road use tax. Majority of that, $2 million is going to go towards, at least, is going to go towards equipment replacement and personnel in about that neighborhood. We have $350,000 towards streetlights, $300,000 to $400,000 towards snow removal, and then we do put 400,000 or so into that's doing a disservice to how much we spend. We put about $400,000 to $500,000 maybe towards capital projects, doing mainly our seal coat program, and then street maintenance, a couple $100,000 out of the what I talked about before isn't personnel necessarily, it's street maintenance.
As you look at the overall picture, though, as you see,
majority of our projects, you know, when we're doing Central Street right now, when we did the North Hill area, all those asphalt overlays, those are all out of debt service, property taxes to pay for.
As you look at the whole, as you look at the overall budget, as you look at overall revenues, as you look at overall the big picture, so to speak, of all the things that have to go out, all the things that are coming in, it sounds like you've got, in all due consideration, that things are in relatively, they're not stable, but they're we're not in devastating states either.
No, I mean we'll be well over $1 million down this next year from collections for what we would have otherwise anticipated receiving. But in the general fund, it won't be that large. The general fund itself will see, $300,000 to $400,000 deficit or shortfall in revenue collections to cover the cost. But we'll also have, we have several categories where we see, well, one, we have CARES funds that were for the transit that offset some of our lost revenues there. And actually, transit will end up costing the city, because of that funding, less than what it otherwise, what it typically would. And that allows us some flexibility to cover some of our shortfalls in other areas. Fuel has been 20% down from costs previously, so we know we have that savings. The swimming pool isn't open this fall, so we have the savings from that. You know, so we have categories where we're seeing we've lost revenue, but we have some offsetting reduced costs.
I don't know how revenue at Flint Hills has been, but I think it looks like more people are playing golf than I've seen in years.
Less tournament revenue, but more day to day play. And I didn't see how the year ended, but I think it probably ended a little better than what was anticipated.
So that's
a plus.
Everything on the plus side is a good thing.
The things that are on the plus side are okay. I think that as we come into this next budget cycle, how we address our capital improvement plan is probably going to see some things that have to be accounted for that we otherwise wouldn't have. It's more those long-term things that we're having to deal with.
We've got more to talk about. Jim Furno is our special guest. We're going to take a break for news. We shall return in just a few minutes.
Welcome to the program.
This is the Dan Patrick Show.
The Pelicans, if I'm the Pelicans, I just say to Zion, why don't you go home? But if you're not going to play him, then just send him home. He just doesn't look like he's in shape. I feel like the Pelicans felt like the NBA did everything they could do to get you guys in a position to maybe make it into the postseason, but they can't play the games for you.
Dan Patrick. The Dan Patrick Show.
Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
It's the hottest day of the year. You're out mowing your yard, sweat running into your eyes, down your back. Time to take a break. You walk into your home, feels cool and fresh. Or does it? Hi, this is Bob Jern from Jern Heating and Air Conditioning. Now's the time to thank air conditioning. If that old unit was acting up last year, let's get a new high-efficiency unit installed. That way, when the temperatures hit 98 degrees, you'll be enjoying the cool comfort of your new Amana air conditioner. Just needing a tune-up? Don't end up waiting your turn for service this summer. Give us a call now. No matter what brand you have, we'll make any adjustments you need to make sure your home stays at the consistent temperature you want. For all your cooling and heating needs, give us a call today. Jern's Heating and Air Conditioning, your Amana dealer, serving Southeast Iowa and West Central Illinois, with 24-hour service and never an overtime charge.
Today on Hey Culligan, smoother skin for the win, we've got Claire in Delaware.
Hey Culligan, the water in my shower makes my skin feel like I'm 90.
Okay, first off, Claire, are you 90?
No.
Okay, second, how do you feel about high-efficiency water softeners from Culligan?
Huh.
Actually, Claire, how do you feel about smoother skin and luxurious hair?
Oh, my gosh. Love it, have to have it.
OMG indeed, Claire. We're already on the way.
Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with a local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Having dry skin is a struggle. Turns out, my body wash was the problem. So I tried new Olay skincare-inspired body wash with vitamin C, collagen, and hyaluronic acid, which improves skin 3 times better versus the leading body wash after 14 days based on clinical moisture retention. And now helps stop dry skin before it starts with new Olay Rinse Off Body Conditioner. Find new Olay skincare-inspired body wash online or in stores. Try Olay Body today.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. The Burlington School Board is set to meet today to discuss policies for a student's return to school this fall. The policies were approved at the previous school board meeting, and the council was going to vote on the second reading of those policies Monday, but that meeting was postponed for an unknown reason. The meeting today will be available to be viewed via the district's YouTube page. The University of Iowa tells students they will not be required to be tested for COVID-19 before moving into residence halls. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
Information released from the school says testing may provide some comfort for families, but it's not recommended by the CDC and only provides data for a specific point in time. The school says testing can miss cases in the early stages and give students a false sense of security and also require significant resources to conduct. UI says it is instead focusing on modifying classrooms and facilities to promote social distancing, providing and mandating cloth face coverings, and conducting enhanced cleaning and disinfection.
Governor Reynolds has reserved $60 million in federal aid for eligible Iowa cities and $40 million for counties to help cover expenses related to the COVID-19 pandemic.
These funds can be used to reimburse for expenditures such as COVID-19 medical supplies and equipment, PPE, sanitizing products, testing supplies and ventilators, other COVID-19 expenses such as payroll cost for public health and public safety personnel, emergency staffing, and overtime medical transportation.
An additional $25 million in federal funds will be made available for local governments to be used as matching money for FEMA grants. Police in suburban Des Moines say a pregnant teenager has died in an overnight shooting at an Ankeny hotel. Police say the shooting happened around 11 p.m. Monday at Wood Spring Suites near Interstate 35. Arriving officers found 17-year-old Mia Holmes of Ankeny suffering from a gunshot wound to the chest. Holmes was rushed to a local hospital where she and her unborn child died. Investigators say they are searching for an 18-year-old Des Moines man. Police indicated the shooting was not believed to be random. From the KBUR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. Millions along the East Coast struggling without power in the wake of Isaias, which is being blamed for at least 6 deaths.
Two of those deaths were in North Carolina, where Isaias made landfall before bringing tornadoes, heavy rain, and flooding up the East Coast. Others were killed in Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, and New York City, where a massive tree fell and crushed a van with a person inside.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. The Chicago public school system is scrapping a hybrid back-to-school plan in the fall, which will now start with an all-remote instruction for the nation's third-largest school district. The mayor is citing a recent uptick in coronavirus cases. President Trump long pushing for schools to reopen.
My view is the school should open. This thing's going away. It will go away like things go away.
President Trump this morning on Fox and Friends. America's listening to Fox News.
The weather outside is beautiful, and that means it's patio season. It's time for sun, fun, and exceptional food and drinks, only at Kelly O'Shea's. Dine in for fresh summer delights, or use their carry-out and curbside pickup options, available on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, to keep you warm and happy during the day's end. Check out their menu at Kelly O'Shea's Pub's Facebook page to see what's to offer. Not your average pub, not the average way. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Mostly sunny skies. A high this afternoon around 77 degrees. Tonight partly cloudy. A low down to 58. Mostly sunny Thursday. A little warmer up to 81. Mostly clear Thursday night. Low down to 62. Should be sunny Friday. Warmer yet up to 85. And Saturday and Sunday partly sunny. A 30% chance of a shower thunderstorm both days with highs around 90 both days. Right now skies continue to be Mostly sunny, it's 66 degrees.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Mixed to higher markets this morning on Wall Street. Investors are weighing that disappointing jobs information from ADP this morning. Far fewer private sector jobs were created in July than hoped as the economy starts to stall because of so many states that had soaring coronavirus caseloads last month. We get the government July jobs report on Friday morning. It could show the nation going in the wrong direction with no recovery. New credit card data from JPMorgan Chase as coronavirus cases grew across the U.S. over the past month show people stopped spending. Crude oil back up to where it was last March. You could see prices at the pump ticking higher over the next few weeks. Square reported strong quarterly results as more people are using its cash app, while WW International, the former Weight Watchers, had a tough quarter. And Clorox says its wipes shortage will last well into next year. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Could you or someone you know use help covering your Medicare premiums? Would you like to speak with someone about lowering your Medicare prescription costs? If you receive Medicare, there are Medicare savings programs available to help. These programs can assist with paying premiums, deductibles, copays, and can even cover prescriptions. To learn more, contact Lifelong Links at 866-468-7887. Again, that's 866-468-7887.
This message from the Iowa Department of Aging is supported by a grant from the U.S. Administration for Community Living.
Everything you need to know and more on AM and FM. All your favorite programs and personalities with a cleaner, clearer signal and a larger nighttime coverage area. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Good morning and welcome back. Jim Furneaux, the city manager of the city of Burlington, joining me today. We've been talking the entire first half talking about what revenue is doing or not doing and revenue projections for where we stand at this time. But I guess in terms of city business, in terms of the things that are operating, city offices, Jim, where do we stand? Do you still have a lot? Are there still a lot of employees working from home or not?
Very few are working from home. We're using we have a few hours where people are just where it fits with flexibility and stuff. But no, we don't have the same type of remote working going on that we did earlier. Now, as school comes in, we know that there's a potential. We just waiting to see how school all turns out on what that means for workforce. And I think a lot of folks are probably concerned about where that goes. A lot of schools that are on the Burlington school on every other day. And then what happens for if you get a spot where kids are sent home because there's a COVID outbreak, how do you address taking child care and alternative forms of taking care of your family and making sure our employees have the ability to do that. So, you know, we're trying to make sure that we're prepped for that so that we can make that occur. But city facilities are all open. We still don't have open council meetings, and the largest reason is just the inability to do social distancing and have very much of a group of people in there beyond council and a few staff members. The library, I think, is the other place where there's a few limitations on hours, but almost back to normal.
Almost back to normal. They resumed this past week. They resumed, I believe, 10 to 6 scheduling. They are asking people that do come to the library to limit the length of their visit. But other than that, in terms of browsing, in terms of my wife's been picking up books when she's not been picking up a hammer or a paintbrush or something like that this summer. We're moving into fall, and it seems that we're just as uncertain about where, at least it's so, we are certain of number of things, but uncertain about everything else. Yeah. Does that make sense or not?
Yeah, it does. For our regular work, most folks are still going about their regular schedule.
I'm doing this across the console.
Our police and fire are all doing their regular operations. Our street department is. All the departments pretty much are. And our projects are still underway. I mentioned in terms of construction, the Central Street is not halfway done. The asphalt is halfway done, but they're still doing all the curb cuts. We have bids that we've accepted on the construction of a parking lot downtown. We haven't had the meeting with them to kick off construction yet, but that should be coming here in the next few weeks. And tied with that, that's, part of the main reason we're doing that is with the renovation of the upper story housing right across the street there. They're proceeding. They tentatively would like to be able to be done with construction September 15. I'm not sure that they're going to hit that September 15 deadline, but they are really not too far off of that. So they should... Having a parking lot open or completed should be in pretty close to occurring the same time that they're able to start having occupancy of that new facility. TAMA project is one that has been sitting forever.
Is there still some litigation or still something? No.
So the developers were ready to move forward in the spring. They've been waiting from SHPO, that's the State Historic Preservation Office, for approval of doing construction since at least March. They finally received a statement that they can move forward the end of July. There's still a process with that, though. There's a public comment period on that through, I think, August 15, for folks to comment if they think have concerns about, from a historical perspective, for construction on the site. They have a meeting with our historic preservation office, our local historic preservation committee, to have approval to move forward, and then they can move on to their next step. We're getting later into the year. I don't know if they're going to be in a position to start construction this fall. I would hope they could, but that. They seem to have all the approvals finally moving forward to potentially have something occur yet this fall. One of our largest projects that's going on right now is the Locust Basin.
Okay.
The sewer separation work that's going on through there. We're about halfway through that project. I don't know if we're expenditure-wise, maybe just a tad over halfway. One of the concerns that we'll have as they move forward here over the next few months, they're going to be doing some sewer separation work right next to Grimes School, and just for access, for traffic flow, we know that there may be some complications there as they go through the fall, but that project is moving forward. Any delays that have occurred there haven't been necessarily anything to do with COVID or any of the other things. It's just how projects move forward.
I know a Cascade Bridge, you mentioned that there was a meeting, they had some proposals. Is the Cascade Bridge, is there any definitive plan or any more news about what to do and when to do something?
No, I think that, you know, the Friends of Cascade came and made a presentation here last week, and one of the things that they stated was they would like to work with the city. Their biggest concern, they want to see some bridge occur there. And I think that there's still within that committee a preference for a rehab to occur, but they are willing to work with the city partner to see a new bridge take its place if that's the route that ends up being chosen. You know, and that's, we have this next agenda, I think, will be accepting the final report from Impact 7G, some of the work that they did that to try to be part of that process, because they're trying to make sure that we have a process where we've officially looked at all potential different alternatives that are out there for what to do with that bridge. And moving forward, I think that's part of the discussion that as the CIP is developed this next year is where does it fit in to try to potentially fund one of those options. What is the impact on, well, what kind of timing can we look at potentially having that be? Where does it impact other projects occurring? So that's putting in another project into our CIP that wasn't on the existing CIP. So if we try to, you know, move it into the closer years, it most likely has an impact on when other projects that we were planning occurring. You know, we have Summer Street towards the airport as a project that we've been trying to get funded. Harrison Street, that's pretty much a full depth replacement that we're looking at occurring here.
Is Summer Street? Is that a widening? Is that a widening project?
It'll be some widening occurring as part of that project. Okay. Yes. Because that's a pretty narrow stretch.
It is a very narrow stretch there, yeah. We had a very dangerous or very near-fatal bicycle accident.
Yeah, and that's
there.
One of the things that, you know, that was one of our projects that we had up for the CIP this last year. We want to get Sunnyside redone. That's one that is on the outside, maybe the fifth year or so out there. One that we know that we need to get worked into the list of projects, and haven't found a spot to fit it in yet, funding wise, is Main Street.
Yeah.
The south end of Main Street is horrible. And it's not even on our 5-year plan. It's not on the 6-year plan. And we throw in Cascade Bridge into this and it's going to make it get delayed potentially farther.
A lot of things that are on the plate. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of Jim Furno right after this.
This is The Herd with Colin Cowherd.
Start looking at your three. You know, Kyle Lowry's taking a lot of heat because he doesn't deliver in the clutch. It's like, oh, no, Kyle's a really good three. So with the Lakers, it's Kyle Kuzma. He's having his worst year, 12.5 a game, 30% from three-point land. So when you start looking at the Lakers, there's just no wiggle room. So I just don't think this Laker team's a championship team.
Colin Cowherd.
Weekdays 11 to 2 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, Frigidaire.
What are you doing, Mimi?
Making a list. LG, Samsung.
List of what?
All the brands we carry. Electrolux, KitchenAid.
What for?
I don't think people realize how many brands we have with all of the refrigerators, washer dryers, mowers, and weed whackers.
Beds, too.
Yes, Sealy.
Sealy. Do we have bandages?
Bandages? What do you need bandages for?
Ow, ow, ow!
Papa and I have been in a birdhouse.
I'll get the first aid kit.
Sears Hometown Store, next to Billy Sims in the city center in Burlington. Big brands at hometown prices with hometown service.
time to make a splash at Hucks Harbor at Fun City. Hucks Harbor Indoor and Outdoor Water Parks are now open for the season. Brave the River Ruckus Slide, 429 feet of twisty, turny curves, or relax and float the Lazy River. Little ones can romp on the splash pad or take a dip in the pool. Everyone will love tasty treats from the Snack Shack, and adults will want to check out the cool cocktail selection at the Tiki Bar. Admission is only $10. Enjoy fun in the sun daily at Hucks Harbor from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
The Burlington Municipal Band is not performing Sunday nights at 7:30 in Crapo Park due to the coronavirus. But KBUR has been presenting the best of the Burlington Municipal Band every Sunday night at 9. This week we wrap up the season with a round robin concert of various directors from August 9, 2015. It's the best of the Burlington Municipal Band this Sunday night at 9 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And welcome back on the talk show today. Jim Furno, city manager in the city of Burlington. And again, I did talk to our owner, John Pritchard, who is the mayor of Galesburg. And I said, are you allowing public to come in and for commentary, to make commentary? And he said, yes, we are. We are in Galesburg now. I said, well, we're not doing that here in Burlington. And I guess, is it because of the size of the chambers? Is
size
that the biggest?
Size of the room. And, you know, I've talked to some cities have been able to do it with social distancing and have a large enough chamber that they feel that they're able to make it work successfully. And we've had, when we have, we are with our work sessions now, we have groups that are coming in for a specific item. We are working them in because we can control the size of that group and make sure that we're staying within our number. And really my biggest hesitancy with having open meetings is if you have people that are expecting that they can come to the open meeting and participate in it and you limit the amount of seating and then they can't be in it, then I feel like we've kind of now cut off an avenue that they thought that there was an expectation it was going to work.
We were talking about the virus itself and dealing with it. And what it seems is that we have, for most people that get that do test positive for the virus, there is many are near asymptomatic or are virtually asymptomatic. They still have the ability to transmit or transfer or, I guess, to transmit the disease to someone else. But other people seem to see, you know, they get a variety or they get one of the mutant varieties that is extremely powerful. And I think that's probably the big concern right now. Do you have any? I mean, has there been anyone in the city, in the city, city workers or city departments that has come down with COVID, as far as you know?
You know, I can't even remember. I know that we've had people who've been, had to be quarantined because they were in contact with someone that had,
right,
that was tested and found to have COVID-19. I'm not sure if we've had anyone who's actually officially been tested and been found to have the virus.
We've had a fairly remarkable track record. We have had no more than one positive case per day in Des Moines County since this began, and there has not been a death in Des Moines County since the third week. So, I mean, from a standpoint of, I don't know if that's not a necessary, since we're a testing site, that also kind of amplifies, testing sites would amplify the fact that you're going to have people that are going to test positive. The question is, can you trust a testing site, and can you trust the positive things? But that's another. That's
it's out of my pay grade.
That's out of my grade too. I guess so, the question is, so you want to keep people safe within the city, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and I did want to get back to projects. One of the ones that we were able to do a street opening here out by the rec facility.
Ah, yes.
We did the Broadway extension and then Hinkle Drive, opening
Redetta
up
Hinkle,
a new street. That was a a really nice thing to be able to do, and it's nice to see a project like that get completed. So we do continue to see a lot of our construction work continuing to happen, and it's nice to know that we do have some, at least some things that are continuing to move forward. We've had a couple of grant awards that have come through here this last month or two. The fire department has had word that they received some funding for their SCBA gear. We were budgeting to replace some of that equipment, you know, like $10,000 this year, $30,000 next year. Well, they got an award for an overall grant of about $300,000, so we were able to replace a significantly larger amount. We still need to put in probably a match on that of about $35,000. So we're putting in the same amount, but we're getting about 10 times the benefit out of
Riverfront improvements and anything. And what is the name of the grant? I'm trying to, the grant.
Tiger Grant.
Tiger Grant, that's it. Where do we stand on a Tiger Grant and
we
timing?
We are so pressed to get things done. We're supposed to be able to go out for bid here, I think the mid-September. We're still trying to get a couple of approvals. We need some things signed off from, it looks like we're going to get it done on the environmental clearances, but it's at the last minute. We also need some signed agreements with BNSF, who has delayed on this. They verbally said that they're okay with everything, but not signed the paperwork and gotten it back. Those things can put us in a position where we end up having no project occur. So it puts an awful lot of stress on folks. We've had outreach to our representatives in Washington to try to get some pressure put on both with DOT for some flexibility with on the environmental side to keep that moving forward, and actually reaching out to BNSF as well.
Is this COVID-related as far as you know or not?
Some of our delays were impacted by COVID, so it has been partially done there.
It's going to be an interesting ride. Hang on to your seats. We'll be back in September seeing where we stand.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll know more about more things.
Hopefully that's the project specifically that we know whether we've gotten things taken care of.
Thanks, Jim. Have a good month.
Thanks.